Welcome back, everybody, to the Who Do You Like Here podcast. Joey Sino and the Kid. 9 days away from the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. Pretty jacked up. How you doing, Kid?
Not too bad. Trying to find my diamond in a rough, in the roof, in the muff before.
Is there one? That's the question this year.
I don't know. That is the question. I think there is. I think I'm very high on a horse, but I'm seeing more and more people kind of like go on to this horse, and that makes me not.
So people are seeing what you're seeing?
Yeah, and that's what makes me think. I think Honor Marie, I'm still very high on Honor Marie. My intuition is telling me, just like it was last year, like there's something with this horse. There's something with that horse, even though it hasn't shown it, even though it hasn't come out and, really...
It hasn't wowed you.
Yeah, it hasn't wowed anybody, but I think coming late, a good trip, working out very well. I looked at the breeding a little bit. There's some Secretariat breeding in there. If it doesn't win the Derby, I'm really high on it for the Belmont, if they race it in the Belmont, but very similar to how I was a Mage.
Yeah.
Something's telling me that might be my Derby horse, but I'm going to check some more boxes here the next couple days.
Ex-trainer Ron Fischow, posted that workout video.
Yeah.
Nice workout. Good splits.
Ben Curtis. I don't know if he's riding during the Derby, if he's just working the horse out, but I'd like to see who the jockey's going to be on the horse, too.
We're going to find out real soon.
Yeah.
Obviously, everything will be finalized for Monday's draw. And next week, obviously, we will have both Oaks and Derby podcasts for next week. So big week next week. That means a shortened week this week.
Yeah, short guy.
Yeah, got a lot of planning workouts to do over for that.
I hope our listeners understand how much I enjoy our fans and care about doing this today, because the Knicks are playing, the draft is going.
It's a lot of action going on Thursday night.
Yeah, it's a jam-packed Thursday night. Mets are probably playing. I don't even know. The Islanders are playing right now, but they're going to lose, so it's not a big deal. But
if you hear pauses today in the podcast for like 4 or 5 seconds of silence, it's because we're checking the phones to see scores,
exactly,
draft orders, etc. So we're going to try to get through this and then go have some fun watching the draft, as well as the NBA playoffs and maybe the Mets and Islanders.
Islanders are down 2-0.
That's shocking. Frankie Borelli's going to be losing his mind.
Yeah, he probably is. I mean,
that was an epic meltdown, though.
I mean,
when they were up by three.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Give up two goals in like 30 seconds or something. Yeah.
You know it's over right there. Yeah. The team does that. There's not really too much to come back from on that.
My Stars aren't doing too well either, playing Vegas. Vegas had their number early on. So we'll see. But playoff hockey is fun to watch.
It is. Yeah.
It may be a struggle during the season, but it's different.
Yeah. It's different style, for sure.
I think playoff any sport is different.
Agreed.
I think it just is a different vibe. Maybe because it's like, that's it. Winter go home style. But lots of action going on tonight, and we've got lots of handicapping to do for next week. So recap last week, obviously Keeneland last Saturday for us at Keeneland. Wasn't really that bad going into the last race, 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
We had 5 horses going in the last race, and I believe they were 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 6th. And maybe it might be 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. I don't even know, but we didn't have the winner, which was Flavian Pratt and Chad Brown. But the top picks were still there. I think they registered our 3rd top pick, 1st pick, 2nd pick, 1st pick, something in that order. Mm-hmm. So our top picks did well in the first 4 races.
Yep.
Other than that, that last race.
Last race. I mean, Flavian rode well, finally.
He's hit or miss for me, man. I
mean, he really hasn't. I don't know where he's standing, right? Like where he is in the standings right now for Keeneland. But I mean, I can't imagine he's doing that well. I mean, he hasn't.
It's a short meet, but I think he's like 5th. He's got to be under Jose and probably close to where Saez is at. Maybe under Saez still, even though Saez isn't like lights out. I'm assuming right now I believe it's Irad, Tyler, Jose. Maybe Saez.
So as of yesterday, I think Irad took the lead today because Tyler blanked. So he's got 2 win lead over Tyler. But it's as of yesterday, Tyler and Irad tied at the top. Jose's in 3rd.
Technically.
Saez is underneath that. Johnny V, Junior Alvarado, Joel Rosario, Flavian Pratt. So
what's separating the Johnny V to Pratt? How many wins is that?
Johnny V to Pratt is 2 wins.
Yeah. It's tight. Underneath.
Yeah. But I mean, for a guy that, I mean, in California, the way he was riding in California, you could have told me this guy was one of the best jockeys in the world, and I wouldn't believe you.
On turf, especially. Yeah,
definitely on turf. And then definitely a different Flavien Pratt. I don't know what it is, but definitely a different Flavien Pratt that you're seeing. Maybe he just was getting the creme de la creme in California.
Yeah, I would almost say that he was getting top.
It's hard to get those mounts when you're going with Irad and Jose and Tyler and Saez. Those guys are getting mounts, but...
I agree.
Different Flavien that you're seeing this year, because I mean he's separated from the winners by 9 wins.
Yeah, and I think when he was out in California, it was like that SNL skit with Peyton Manning and the 8-year-old kids playing football.
Yeah,
where he's just spiking the ball at him and throwing rifles at him. That's kind of he just kind of toyed with it out there. Got the best mounts, and it was easy for him to win. He wanted to change, obviously, for that Eclipse Award. Mm-hmm. Don't think it's really panning out great.
I mean, he's getting 50. He's got 50 starts at Keeneland.
Yeah, he's getting the mounts.
But I mean, that's different from so Saez has got 82. Irad's got 78. Tyler's got 97 mounts. Mm-hmm. Jose's got 60, so 10 more with 7 more wins. Rosario's got 48, right around the same. He's got one more. So, I mean, he's within that average, I think, of like how many starts to where everybody's at. But
he's not riding too many favorites.
He's not riding too many favorites, and he's not getting as many mounts, obviously, as the big dogs.
So, yeah. So. I think that's the true telltale sign, too, is look at the wins, the dollar wins, what the payouts are. Because I would imagine that those guys in the middle are getting some really, really nice prices. Like,
so, if you did it by earnings, he's... fourth or fifth in earnings.
Yeah.
Fifth in earnings right now.
And that makes sense. So, I mean, it's not about titles for him as much as it is still making the money.
Winning in the big races, hitting the board in the big races. He is hitting the board quite a bit.
Yeah.
I mean,
his turf numbers have to be higher though.
I mean, 6 wins, 10 seconds, 2/3. And, I mean,
he's in the mix.
Yeah. I mean, that's, if you look at Joel Rosario, right around the same thing, he's got 48 mounts. He's got 7 wins, 4 seconds, and 4/3. So, I mean, he's in that 14 of the 48 races he's hitting the board as, or 15.
Yeah.
And then Flavien Pratt is hitting the board 18 of the last. So,
You know who shocks me on that list? Fucking Johnny V. Because he was
Wesley Ward. Wesley Ward mounts, and he gets those
front runners.
Yeah, he's got some established business that I'm not
Johnny
too
Johnny V loose on the front is still just as dangerous as anybody else. But if you got to ask him to come off the pace, that's a lot for him. I don't know. He just doesn't do as well. But if he can set the pace, it's kind of where his niche is right now. He's got to be out and rate.
So. Yeah.
But interesting going into the last day on Friday, we'll see where the standings finish out for the Keeneland Spring Meet. We're actually focusing in on Churchill this week, opening weekend of Churchill. Going to be interesting because that opening weekend of Churchill has never been my strong suit. I feel like there's going to be bombs coming in. It's very chalky at Keeneland. I think that's why you can kind of pick them as they kind of look like they should come in. It's pretty fair. Churchill, though, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Spring meet especially. I never do. Fantastic. I'm lukewarm at best usually, so I feel
I do well.
Great assault.
I do better at Churchill than I do at Keeneland. So
yeah, this is where you pick me up.
Yeah, I think I'm hoping for maybe a better result here. I more so I'm just excited to see how the track plays, and just like I am every year going into the Derby and the Oaks, kind of look at that track bias and see is speed going to hold or is it not going to hold, and I'm going to look at heavy closers in certain races and distances. So.
I agree.
I'm also excited to see the new paddock.
Yeah, that looks really
construction,
good.
Construction, unveiling of the new paddock. It looks really good from the pictures and the videos I've seen as of late, but it'll be nice to see kind of...
I believe the whole layout's changed for how they come into the track now versus to where it was. I obviously haven't been to Churchill, so I couldn't speak on that, but from what I've seen on the renovations, it looks really nice. The pictures look amazing. It's going to be a great day. Really looking forward to that that first Saturday of May.
Yeah, a lot better than what they had when they were doing the construction. They would walk them off the track, and then they'd be looking. It looks like they were standing on like wood chips, and then like on like a little board in the background.
Yeah, like your neighbor's fucking lawn. Yeah. You know, some railroad ties to give it the frame. I don't know. Weather looks to be good though this week for Churchill, so it shouldn't be any problem. Some rain coming through over the course of, I think, maybe tomorrow night. Barely, but I'm not really worried. Track should be fast. Doesn't look like we're going to have much weather next week as far as rain is concerned, except for in the middle of the week. So track should be fast for next week, but we'll hold court.
Track is fast. Turf is firm.
Turf is firm. That's great. Shout out to little Pete Aiello. Yeah, we can get right into the handicapping here. We got lots going on, so we're just going to abridge this this podcast.
You didn't want to address the Knicks game the other night?
That was pretty money.
It was money. And I don't know if you turned it off, but it sounded to me from the text messages that you may have turned it off before the big shot.
I turned it off?
Yeah. Did you turn it off before the big shot?
I changed the channel before. I changed the channel and then went back to it after Brunson made the three. So literally, I came back and Brunson made the three. Okay. And I'm like, all right, now we need a turnover. We're still down. And then the scramble happened and it was just like slow motion.
Yeah.
And then it. Two shots by DiVincenzo back to back, kick out, made the shot, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Did you watch the full Bucks game?
No.
Don't believe you.
Nope. No. Which one? Wait, which one? The game one or game two?
Both of them.
No, I couldn't watch one. Couldn't even watch.
Game one you watched.
Which I think is the most dumbest fucking rule in the NBA. When I grew up, you only got to watch your local teams. You couldn't watch teams outside of your network or your area.
Yeah. This
is going back obviously some decades, but you know, that I understood. You only can watch your locals. And people would bitch, and that's why DirecTV became, with the NFL, really became popular for the ticket, because now you can watch teams anywhere. You don't have to watch the
but they're playoff basketball. You should be able to watch every single game. Every single game should be televised on, like, ABC, TNT, NBA Network.
Well, NBA Network's the one that fucked you, because they're the ones that had it
and they blacked it
because
out.
Because if it's on TNT, if it's on a nationally televised program,
it doesn't matter.
Everybody can see it. But when NBA Network has it, you don't get to see it locally. That's the dumbest fucking rule.
It happens in baseball. It goes to Bally. Yeah, correct. It goes right to Bally.
It happens in baseball and it happens in basketball. And that's the downside of the sport when you're trying to watch your local team. So, well,
again, during the playoffs, you think you'd be able to watch everything.
That's where they want the money.
Yeah, you would think
they're telling you to go buy a fucking ticket and see it. It's only a couple miles.
The amount of timeouts they call in the NBA in the playoffs and the amount of commercials that they pump in there, you would think they want you to. The amount of games they spread this out to,
not enough revenue.
You would think they would want to make
commercials,
sure.
But they don't want the fans to watch it.
Well, it will be quite the scenario if the Bucks get past the Pacers, because then you're going to be torn.
You're gonna be so torn.
Stupid. You know, the Knicks are coming to Milwaukee, vice versa.
Not a chance.
You're gonna look at your wardrobe and you're gonna be like, what do I do?
What is with all this aggression today?
What do I do?
There's no doubt in my mind. I will support the Knicks throughout the series.
Okay.
The problem is, I told you, I am mush. The minute I get excited about my team,
when you say you're mush.
It's happened time and time again. The Knicks haven't won a championship in, I don't know, 100 years, 80 years. I don't even know when it was. But I'm telling you right now, when I get excited about my team in any sport and they're in the playoffs, whether it's baseball, football, doesn't matter, there's an epic debacle meltdown that happens. And you've been witness to at least two of them.
21
years. In baseball and one in football. Yeah. And now you're probably going to see the basketball one. You're going to be able to witness it.
I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah. I think the only championship you'd be able to see on any team that I've been supporting on that you like is Syracuse in 2003.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you really appreciated basketball.
No, I wasn't. I mean, it was cool. I mean, Diefendorf and Melo were cool to watch because they were just elite. But
Johnny Mack.
I said Diefendorf.
Johnny Mack.
McNamara.
Tons of different talent that came through for a year.
Jerry McNamara. Yeah. Not Johnny McNamara. Jerry McNamara.
Hey, congratulations on him too, getting a nice little coaching job at Siena. So.
Yeah, I was also like, what was that? How old was I when they won?
It was 2003, so you're eight.
Yeah, eight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was playing fucking SpongeBob video games.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah.
Sure you weren't really paying attention to all losing my shit in the bar watching the Final Four.
Yeah.
It's I don't know what it's like to be a Patriots fan and have multiple championships.
That's why you should be, you know, just all over this series. We shouldn't even be talking about the Bucks from here on out.
You should not talk to me
about the Bucks. Actually, they're bad enough where you don't have to talk about
them. I've seen too many playoff games in every sport to be disappointed. World Series, Super Bowl, and NBA playoffs. Every single sport, we've gotten there, and we haven't been able to close the deal.
I mean, you were born the last time the Knicks won a championship. You were 2 years old. But, I mean, be that as it may.
Yeah, I think I remember nothing of that series.
But you were alive. You saw the Mets win the World Series in your lifetime. I have not. Atlanta, I mean, at least you saw, you know.
I saw them get to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you saw them get to the Super Bowl, and so did I.
But, and a debacle finish, 28-3, falling to the Patriots. So, again, I don't
know. Syracuse win.
Yeah.
You know.
I've gotten some championships, but listen, you're talking.
If anybody should be scoring here, it should be me.
Bro, you're talking about 50 years. That's a lot. That's four different sports every year. That's like 20 seasons of sports, and I've only got like three or four that I can count on my fingers. So,
well, you know the sport that doesn't let you down?
Golf.
I was going to say horse racing, but yeah, golf is fun too.
Actually, golf lets me down all the time.
Yeah.
Horse racing has never let me down.
Did you see my comment today?
Which one?
I had a couple comments. I think it's funny that the face of horse racing, the second face of horse racing, the bigger face of horse racing, the man who's being sued, but for some reason is still talking about Baffert. Yeah. He keeps talking about this goddamn video.
Yeah. I just saw your comment. Video?
In quotations.
Video?
I hate it. I don't know how he can. First of all, I thought he was getting sued, so I don't know how he can keep coming out here and just continuously bashing him. And I guess Swift is off of Twitter. I don't know if that's true or not, but. I mean, not Swift, Shoe.
Yeah, Shoe. I saw a recent post with Shoe. I don't think anybody gives a fuck about Shoe anymore.
No, I think people like Shoe. I don't think people like Swift because of all the bullshit.
Swift.
Shoe is great. I don't mind him. I think, you know, he puts out good content, you know, whatever.
He's mild. I rarely see anything from him.
But man, Swift is doubling down on this video. I had to comment. I was like, what? Yeah. Oh, we didn't release the video because of the sport. We wanted to protect the sport.
You don't hate.
But you're bashing the biggest trainer. You associate one name with horse racing. It's Bob Baffert.
Yeah.
And you're bashing it. You sent out video, your pictures of all these horses, but you won't put out a video. Like, that's more condemning to the sport than everything else. He doesn't have
something. Got to be something else to it, right?
Yeah. There's no video.
There's nothing. He has nothing. He just hates the fucking guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if he didn't take a picture with him one day or.
I mean, I would love to, even if he wants to come on here and just talk about the reasons or what he's got. I would love to hear what he's got to say, because this is crazy. Swift. Yeah. If he wants to come on, feel free to come on if you want to. If he listens, he might not even listen, which is fine with me.
Somebody may listen at Noam or something. I'll bring anybody on the podcast. Yeah,
anybody wants to come on the podcast.
Have your platform, say what you
got
to say.
But I will have some very, very intense questions to ask him.
Yeah.
Okay,
get ready for the cross-examination. Yeah,
this will be a cross-examination, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be an interesting one. Nonetheless, it looks like, obviously, nothing passed. Bob's not in the Derby this year.
Yeah, just a last-ditch effort. But obviously, I mean, I would assume Muth is going to be a very, very difficult foe in the Preakness.
Preakness.
That's his. He'll be wearing that bright yellow tie in the Preakness day, and we'll see.
Muth should be trying to destroy everybody's hopes and dreams of a triple crown, and Bob can plant his flag and say he's ruined another one. But we're going to see. That's 3 weeks away. Right now, we're focused on Derby next week, and this week we're focused on Churchill. We're going to get through this late pick five, races 6 through 10. I don't know what it's going to be like. Weather looks great, so we're going to stay with hopefully fast and firm conditions here. And I don't know, throwing a dart here in the first and last leg, if you ask me. You got two maiden races that are kind of wide open, and a lot of horses in this first leg, which are coming off synthetic races and going back to dirt or just trying dirt for the first time. So a lot of question marks, but sixth race at Churchill on Saturday. Mile on the 16th, maiden claiming. This is for $10,000, purse of $30,000 for maiden 3-year-olds and upwards. Like I said, it's kind of a confusing race. I do have four to put on my ticket. I'll probably have more. If I was doing a horizontal, I would spread.
Yeah, if I'm playing the pick five, I'm probably going to put the all button in the first leg.
Yeah, I'm going to try to dial down the other races. I think you have a better chance to as well. But if I had to select four, I guess my top pick would be the 7. It'd be Cash Me Up. Declan Cannon, Linda Rice here coming into Churchill. This horse, one time out this year at a $15,000 claimer, so gets a little small little relief, but ran a pretty bang-up race, had the lead briefly, and then, you know, failed on the stretch, lost by a neck as the odds-on favorite, and that was at Turfway Park on the synthetic. Now, prior to that, has a couple dirt races at a route once it got claimed, two back. Nothing really dramatic here. I do like the race, though, last time out. It's out of Nyquist. And I also like the workouts since then. So that was February 17th. The March 13th workout at 49-1 is great. I do like the one on April 5th at 49-3. That was a strong workout in 50. So the horse is still working pretty good. I'm interested to see how Linda Rice would do with her opportunity at Churchill that day. But, I mean, if I had to pick one on top, I'll give Cash Me Up the 7 a chance on top. Underneath, I like the 4, the 6, and the 8. The 4 is Golden Buck. This is an interesting one here.
Crazy name.
Yeah.
I was surprised you didn't take it on top.
Golden. The Golden Buck. Listen, it's Jose Castañón, and then you have Jesus Castañón. So owner, trainer, jockey. There's a family affair here in the Castañóns. Dropping 15,000 and going a little more distance. I like the first time at route going here on the dirt. One time at Mountaineer. I'm not really going to pay attention to that, but I'm going to say that the Turfway Park Synthetic 6.5 first time out for this year was good off the claim, and I think you're really going to see an improvement. That was a 71 speed figure. You should improve off of that. So I do like that one. I got a big question mark. Might even be a price. We'll see. I like the 6 faster. This is Chase Miller for Darren Miller. This one kind of scratched my head from 50,000, 30,000 drop in class. These are also two synthetic races that it ran. Didn't really care for the dirt as much, but at least it does get out there. So I think it has a chance if it can go to the front to be on the ticket. That was first time LASIK, second time LASIK. I'm looking for an improvement. And the workout on March 16th, 49-4. I like that workout as well. And then last but not least, like I said, I'll take the what I have the 4, 6 and the 8. Yeah, the 8 is Moon Over Montgomery. This is another slight class dropper here that has shown some tactical speed to go to the front, failed, and then coming off the pace. I'm looking for an off the pace. I think it went to the front or near the front last time due to the off conditions on the sloppy track. You're going to have a fast track, so I'm looking for this one to come off the pace. Jose Riquelme, this is for Keith Sormo. Workouts are pretty average, pedestrian at best, but I do like the opportunity for this horse to improve. 69 speed figure, last time career best, should improve off of that, and a little class relief. So kind of a dart in the a blind dart getting thrown here, but if I had, like I said, take anybody on top, 7, 8, 6, and 4.
We have a little bit of a situation here, Bruin.
We do.
I have the 7 as well.
Oh.
So maybe we're going back to,
sinking?
Yeah, docking.
Docking a little bit.
Cash me at Churchill. How about that?
Cash me outside Churchill. How about that?
I think the 7 is definitely, if I'm looking at this race as a whole, again, I'll probably be pressing the all button or putting as many combinations as I can here. But I think the significant class drop, I think getting to the surface is going to help this horse. I think it's done very well leading up to this race, right? Good improvements. It's also posted an 80 speed figure in its career on dirt. Obviously, mm-hmm. didn't get the job done. I think, in this field, anything's really possible, but I really do like the chances. Obviously, Linda sending a horse over here means something. Why not keep it at Aqueduct? A good spot for this horse. So I think it's impressive. To just make that trip and get this horse here. The breeding is nice. Obviously, Nyquist out of Uncle Mo. I mean, it's something you like to see on the form there again. But training well going into it. You're getting Declan Cannon, who's also ridden other horses in this race, has the option, I'm sure. Probably had a couple horses to pick from. He took this one. So I think it says something. Again, I'll have a lot of combinations, but I have the 7 on top. I think it's the best, at least as of right now, from this group. And then underneath, I have the 3. I think the 3 is pretty interesting here. From a closing perspective, right? Coming from way back, trying to pick up the pieces late.
Yeah.
Gavin Ashton, he's an up and coming, a young jockey. You've seen him on, I think it was Turfway. He was racing. I think he had a couple of races, maybe even at Fairgrounds. I can't really remember. But I was seeing his name kind of pop up a little bit. So I think he's trying to make the most of his opportunities. I think that this horse is training very well. I think it's, again, coming late from a closing perspective.
Yeah.
Getting to the surface, I think, is going to be interesting, right? It's been racing on the all weather. Now it's getting to the dirt for the first time.
Yeah.
So
turf and synthetic.
Yeah. So trying to switch it up, trying to find the winning formula there out of American Pharoah. I mean, there's a lot of different things where this horse I could also see win the race.
It's a good point.
Coming late. So again,
how about your training on dirt? Let's run them on dirt. We see the workout's pretty good.
Yeah. Cause it's not really doing much. I mean, it's getting a lot of seconds and thirds. It's right there. It's closing very well, but I'd like to see this horse make up, on all weather, on the synthetic, it's very hard to make up that ground. right? You want to be closer to the front. You want to be closer to the speed because it is so hard to go and close late. Well, on the dirt, it's not really like that. You can close from the dirt.
Yeah, you can make up the ground.
You can make up that ground, especially at Churchill, that long-ass stretch. So I like the 3 a lot.
It's a great point.
And then I also like the 10 all the way on the outside. You're getting an upgrade in jockey. You're adding the blinkers. I think that they're just trying to really get this horse focused. And then you get Jose, who obviously is staying in Kentucky. He's racing really well. He's doing the right things. Yeah. And I think that, you know, even though it hasn't shown much leading up to the race, I think they're trying to make some different improvements to try to see if this horse can be competitive. So I thought taking a shot again, I'll have a lot of horses in this race, but if I'm going to narrow it down to the 3 top horses for me, it's a 7 with the 3-10 in this race.
Yeah, I'm not really mad at that choice selection that you have there. The 3 makes a lot of sense. I think the surface change is what's required. They've been really trying everything but the dirt, and it's finally they're going to it. Question for you though, the 1 with Tyler Gaffleon, Cold Boss, actually beat both of our picks. Mm-hmm. You had the top pick, the 7 last time out, or 2 times back, where it came in 2nd in that 15,000 on synthetic that was at Turfway Park. Any thoughts? Because I didn't think it bounced back any better, and there's really no other, there's nothing really that it shows great on dirt. That's kind of why
I'd like to watch the trip in that race. I'd like to see how that race broke down. 24:49, 115, 140 finished the race. So it's not very,
it's not very fast. There's nobody I don't think that's really going to try to run the,
you never know,
the lights off in this race. Well, there's nothing on paper here that's showing anybody's going to go out there and just light this up and try to steal the race.
Right.
From a speed perspective, nobody even likes to get to the front besides the 6.
Yeah.
That likes to go. And those fractions are 23 and 48. Yeah. So that's with a class drop. So again, questionable.
Yeah. Here. Questionable. Maybe underneath it is Tyler at Churchill. So I wouldn't be surprised. He'll also be on my ticket. Like if I'm building a hypothetical ticket, he's on there for sure.
Right.
Also really quick, while we're on the subject of Linda Rice, did you see her, ex-assistant, Samantha Rizzo, is that her name? The steward at an aqueduct.
Oh yeah. I remember that.
She, is no longer a steward. Really? Aqueduct. They released her. Yeah, I read an article today.
Not just from that one.
They didn't give reasoning why she's not on there.
It's funny. I'd like to know what other call she was on board that she screwed up or.
I don't. Who knows? Maybe they split amicably or amicably. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
That's good.
Stumble. This is the third time. Maybe something's wrong. I mean, I'm having a stroke here. this is like the third time it's happened to me. I was at work and doing the same thing. I was trying to think of the word. I'm like, I'm trying to expand my horizons and my vocabulary. But
how about mutually? Mutually, they parted ways.
So she's no longer an aqueduct. She's no longer a steward. They're doing, I guess, an international search to refill that position, but I just thought it was interesting from the debacle we had last year where certain horse got put up and a certain horse got taken
down. There was multiple people we came across that had conflicts of interest in the stewarding. So, give us a call. I got no interest. I'll come fucking steward for you. Awesome.
Yeah. I probably can't do that because then that means I have to stop betting. So I can't.
Well, you have stop betting. I don't have stop betting. All right, for you.
True. Yeah. All right. Easy Porter.
That's how it goes. That's how it goes. Yeah. All right, let's get to the 7th race. 7th race, a mile and a 16th on the turf. It's an allowance, 127,000 condition. Obviously, a purse of $127,000. For fillies and mares, 3 years old and upwards, never won a race other than maiden claim or starter, which have never won 2 races. I've only got 3 in this race. I'm going to go with the 4. Hola Gata. This is Tyler. This is Chad Brown. This horse is just in great form and conditioning. I think the end of the 3-year-old campaign and the 4-year-old campaign, it's right where it's left off. I love last time out, highest speed figure here, career best for the horse. And it just really fits best for the off the pace that I'm looking for. I think going to gobble up the ground here. I like the extended distance too. So 4 is going to be my top pick coming off the pace, chasing down the speed. 2 underneath that I'm going to have is the 2, Tituba. This is Luis Saez. This one's for Mike Maker. Going to be on the front. I think he's going to get caught late. We're extending out and has really weakened lately at a mile. Now, albeit 2 of those were on synthetic, but I just think the distance going a little longer isn't the best. He's running a great class. Speed figures are great, 85, 87. I just think he's going to gas out late and get caught near the wire, maybe the 16th. So the 2 is going to be underneath on my selections for sure. And then last but not least, with the 4 on top and the 2 there, I also got to put the 9 on the ticket, and that's going to be Killshave Beauty. This one's John Velasquez because he's got a front runner. Mm-hmm. And this is one I think they can actually hang on and maybe even hang on enough to maybe possibly beat the four. Maybe I move the nine up a little closer on top, unless they really get into a speed duel, then it sets up well for the four, which is kind of how I handicap today. So I think the nine's great. I think Johnny V is always his best on his front. I've already said that. That 137-1, not the best time, but he was in hand in that maiden debut win at $100,000. Never had to change strides, never had to go to the whip, just kept him going, kept him active. So that being said, an 80 speed figure on debut, getting Lasix for the first time and going the extra distance with a nice late pace figure after having the lead of 86. So 83, 78, and then 86 late pace just kind of drew away and didn't really have to do much from the iron. So nine should be really tough to beat as well. So those are the only three I can see that are going to be viable in this race. Two speedsters and a closer, but I'm going to go four catching the speed with the 9-2, but the nine may hold on.
So I actually have the nine as my top pick.
I like it.
Maiden 100K broke its maiden impressive fashion when gate to wire ended up drawing off by four lengths. And now you're adding the Lasix and you're also adding a little bit more distance, right? So everything for that reason alone, Johnny V getting out to the front, I think it'll be a gate to wire fashion in my opinion. I think, yeah, maybe that two is going to go out, but I don't know if it's going to be fast enough to compete and be able to hold on. So it might be contesting. Johnny V might just do what he does and let the race come to him. But I think that this horse is very fast. It breaks out the gate, at least from the first start that we could see, very well. And again, to win by four lengths, you spread out the distance a little bit more. And then you also add the Lasix, I think, is a winning combination for this horse. So I think that this horse has a really good opportunity to go gate to wire. So that'll be my top pick. Out of all the horses, I really, really feel confident about that one.
Yeah.
I like the four underneath for everything you said there. I think the four is going to be very difficult, right? It's Tyler, it's Chad Brown. Closing fashion, right? Being able to sit there stock and then make up the ground, right? Last time out, should have won. Mm-hmm. The only reason I didn't is just that second-itis last three races.
Yeah.
Always right there, but just can't get the nose down
first. That's why the added distance, I think, is going to help get back to that.
Agreed. That so form. Hopefully they have something to close into. I mean, if there's a crazy speed duel at the top, this horse is probably going to be the one to definitely look at there. Mm-hmm. And then I also had the eight on my ticket underneath as well. So J Love gets the mount here in this race. And last time out is exactly what I anticipate seeing here. Again, another very stalking in the mix, but not in the front. Fashion ran an 85 speed figure. So one of its top speed figures, and J Love first time aboard did very well. Obviously just didn't get the job done. Had the lead, but just kind of went weary. So maybe they just moved a little bit too early, right? Yeah. So I think if J-Love just is a little bit more patient, takes his time and moves at the right time, has an opportunity to also win this race or at least be right there down the stretch. Now, granted, that was on the all weather. Might take into consideration maybe the surface helped there. But again, I like to think that the turf and the all weather are very comparable here. So I really like J-Love's chances of just closing, stalking, waiting for his opportunity, and then, you know, trying to pull away down the stretch. So, again, another opportunity, but I think gate to wire, the nine, and then if he gets caught up into a speed duel, the four or the eight are my top picks underneath.
I like them, too. I'm just worried about those early fractions coming off, because when you talk about the four, he chased down a 23.47. Mm-hmm. So I know that the horse is able to chase down those higher fractions. Yep. I really think you're going to see with the nine and the two up front battling. So you should see some nice fast times early. You know that track's going to be fast.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I do like that opportunity in the horizontals, especially. I think that's a great opportunity. I think there's a lot of people you could put in third. Maybe this is an all button kind of position, like a 9-4 all or something of that nature. And I'd be crazy if I didn't have Stephanie's Charm.
Yeah,
obviously the six in there, just because my wife would beat the crap out of me if I don't have her name in it.
Just tell her put a win play show on it.
Yeah, it'll probably come in fourth anyways. It really doesn't matter because she's always picking
key it in your super in fourth.
Yes, I'll put it in fourth place in the super. Fucking perfect.
The one thing too, I think another nod to Tyler over the two in this race, right, is why I think the four is a little bit. And maybe another, like I said, another nod to him in this race is that, you know, Mike Maker and Tyler Gaffney, they team up a lot at Churchill. Like, I mean, like exclusively, it's like Tyler rides for Mike Maker, Joe Sharp. There's a ton of combinations he rides for, but those are the big ones, you know, like you always see him on those horses in Kentucky. He's taking this Chad Brown mount. So I think there's something to be said here. Obviously, he's ridden this horse twice. He knows how to ride it. Obviously, I don't know where Irad is this weekend. But I didn't see him on the card here. So I would assume maybe,
well, that's a good question. I don't know where he's riding this week.
Yeah. So I don't know. But again, I think Tyler getting the nod here says something here for the four. So
yeah, Kyle also rode your eight before, and Jarrus got that mount. So yeah, I think he's got the mount he wants, and I think he's going to make make the best of what he has with the four in that race. So going to be interesting. Let's go to the eighth race, a mile and a quarter. This mile and a quarter, by the way.
Mile and a quarter.
It's a maiden, 120,000, purse of 120,000 for maiden fillies, mares, 3 years old and upwards. This is another big spread race for me. Nothing that I'm really convinced on that's really going to be head and shoulders above everybody else, but I will take the 10 on top. Ava's Luck, Junior Alvarado, Riley Mott. Second time on Lasix, I think is going to be a huge improvement here. As raced at 115,000K for maiden races the last two times, distance at a mile on the 16th, and closing finishing time of 146.4, just two lengths back of the winner last time out, first time on Lasix. So I like that opportunity to improve off that with a 77 speed figure. Should do a little better than that. If he can run the same race, it'd be close to winning if he just ran that, but I think you're going to see an improvement. So I like the combination. I think the trainer jockey combination, just the way when they work together, especially with maidens, it's a higher percentage than when they team up on already conditioned winners. So I'll take the 10 on top. I do like the one Just Basking. This is Joe Talamo. 146.2 was the time. That's also looking in the race here to mile on 16th for 100,000, 146.1 was the finish time, second by a length. That was at 38-1. So the horse came off a second on a maiden 70,000 on synthetic, goes to dirt, goes to a route for the first time, runs an 85 speed figure, and comes in second only by a length. So I don't think you're going to get those kind of odds this time for Ian Wilkes, but if you don't have the one, the ticket, at least in the verticals, I think the added distance helps here, should be an improvement. So I want to have the one on the ticket as well. The five's kind of interesting to me. Mystical Chant, that's a 147.1, basically for the same race that we just talked about with the one. He came in fourth in that race and actually was closer to the front with Flavian Pratt. Now, this horse has had an opportunity to be at the front on a synthetic race prior to that as well, with 80 speed figure back to back. So I think you could look for an improvement here. I think Pratt had him in a good spot last time. The fraction 23.47 and 113 may have been a little too fast going for it to move into. We are extending the distance. It's a little bit of a concern, but underneath in the vertical, I think it's an opportunity. Plus, you're getting Jose Ortiz on here. I know he's going to be hungry at the bit going to Churchill. Like you said, that's going to be where he's going to hold his tack here for a while. So I think he's going to try to make the impression right away. Last but not least for my pick is all the way on the outside. I'm going to take the 11 foreseen. This is another one for Tyler and George Arnold. The distance is a question for me. I'm kind of questioning it. I know it looked good last time out, but I actually lost ground in the last 16th of a mile in a $100,000 maiden race last time. Two times on Lasix, did get an improvement. I don't know if you're going to see an improvement for the third time, but the prime power is second, 147.4 time in that race. Something that I want to make sure I noted. So I do think it does have the ability to at least be there in the mix at the end. So I'm going to have the 11 underneath. Probably just can't put it on top. Ava's Luck, second time on the Lasix, though, I think has got to be my top pick. I'm going to put that one right up on top, like I said. So 10 with the 1511.
Yeah, this is we're a little off on this one in comparison to our picks here. I think maybe I think maybe a little bit of a spread like here as well. I'm going to go with the two, actually. Rabikina. So how do you say that? Rabikina. So I like Rabikina. Adam Biskitza getting the mount here. Number one, I think you're getting an upgrade in jockey. Obviously, Adam is getting fewer mounts, but when he does get aboard, he is trying very hard, which you like to see. But one thing that I looked at on the stats here is that this trainer, Jeffrey Greenhill, is 30% when he's switching from all weather to dirt, which is exactly what I wanted to see here. This horse has obviously not gotten the job done at Turfway.
Stroke.
Here we go. So he hasn't gotten the job done. He hasn't really done well, but I think they're switching it up just in time. I think that layoff was definitely needed. First time back, obviously didn't do very well, but did make up some ground. I think you're going to see a vast improvement from what you saw in March to today, especially with the surface change, as well as getting another race under its belt. But I also like, if I'm looking at a race right before the layoff, this horse was pretty competitive. It set two lengths off, and then down the stretch was, you know, three quarters of a length off, and ended up losing by a length, right?
Gained through the stretch at 60-1.
And if you look at the stats in this race, it's kind of where you want to be. Coming down the stretch, you want to be late. You want to be basically one off. You want to be right there in the front. So I think if he runs very similar to that race on January 24th, off the layoff here, second race under its belt, changing the surface, adding the blinkers, getting this horse focused. I think a lot of different things here you're adding.
Yeah.
You know, to improve here, I think is pretty impressive. And I think you're going to get a fat price on this too. So yeah.
great job on that stat, by the way, for Jeffrey Greenhill and the trainer on the synthetic to dirt switch. And I don't know what happened last race, but he was bothered at the start.
Yep.
He's had two bad starts and one good start. Mm-hmm. I would watch that last race. And if it really took him out of the whole equation to begin with, scratch that race. And if I didn't see that race, like if I didn't see the result,
it's not that bad.
I'd be really interested in this horse. So, I think you'd have to look at that race to see how bad it was at the start.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause I think the layoff, you know, I think that has something to do with it, right? You're laid off for two and a half months before you get a race under your belt. So I think that really took some time. And I think it's a good spot for this horse. So
and like they're in the blinkers.
Yeah, blinkers, so, focusing.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah, that's at a price and a maiden race, anything can happen. But again, this is going to be a spread leg for me anyway.
Yeah.
But I'll definitely have that one on the ticket. I also like the six. I think the six is pretty impressive here as well. James Graham. And, you know, this, again, another horse that hasn't really shown a lot, but is working out very well. It's making the surface change. They tried the turf, didn't do well there. They tried the all weather, obviously didn't do well there. I think dirt, again, is probably where this horse needs to be. James Graham, again, in a layoff, you know, in a surface change and an opportunity here, I think he's going to make the most of it. Again, hasn't done well, but I think they need to try the dirt as the surface. I think that's going to be the winning formula. I think coming late, I don't think it's going to be up in the front, but I think it's going to improve significantly, I think, at a decent price. And then I also have underneath as my third pick, I have the 10, which is what you just mentioned too. Obviously, the 10 is pretty impressive. Junior Alvarado, actually, you didn't mention the 10.
Ava's Look, yeah.
Ava's Look.
I have the 10. It's my top pick.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Ava's Look, Junior Alvarado, Riley Mott. This is a combination you've seen all year. Riley Mott, obviously, relation to Bill Mott. Mm-hmm. Those two. When any Mott Alvarado connection, I'm betting you have to have it on there. They do so well. He rides so hard for that connection. Oh, yeah. You never get a crappy, you know, bad route from him. He's always trying. So again, underneath, sweeping up the pieces late, definitely going to be there. Probably the best contender in this race, in my opinion, when you're looking at the field. But again, similar race at the distance, I think is going to be fine. I don't see any issues here. Again, second time with the LASIK. So again, they tried it for the first time, got a better, way better result.
Yep.
I think third, you know, second time trying is going to be maybe the winning formula. Improving speed figures, good training regimen here.
Yeah. On the upcoming. Yeah.
Yeah. Like so looking at that, again, maiden race, a lot of combinations I'll probably have in this leg, but again, I'm going to probably try to take a fat price here. So I'll have the two with the 6-10.
That six, Choate?
Yeah.
Isn't that from Seinfeld, Mrs. Choate? Wasn't that the Marble Rye lady? I'm almost positive.
That's a question for you. I didn't watch it that
intensely. Miss Choate. That's the one that Jerry took the Marble Rye from. You stole my Marble Rye.
It's one of those horses where I looked at, you know, and again, really isn't doing much, hasn't really shown much, but I don't think they had it on the right surface. You know, they tried both and just didn't get the job done. And James Graham is going to do whatever he can to put this horse in the money, you know? So,
again, that's going to be a price too. And Jimmy comes in on prices underneath.
This could be a $1,000 try.
This could be big. It's huge. Nice call out. Let's go to the ninth race, 6 furlongs. This is the non-graded stakes race, the Roxalina $200,000 non-graded stakes race for fillies and mares 4 years old and upwards. I do have 4 in this race. I'm going to have to spread in this race as much as I'd like to nail it down, maybe to 1. Top pick again is going to be Junior Alvarado for Bill Mott this time. This is socially selective, the 9 on the outside. Moving up in class, but the speed figures of 93 and 90 for the two races for this year at Gulfstream Park at 6.5 furlongs. Has been really, really good. Been drawn away and winning fairly easy against some decent horses. I know it's lower class, but at least some decent horses that have come back and had good races since, especially that one back on January 13th. The workout also on April 21st, 49-3 for 4 furlongs. Very strong work, really good condition. Now it's a non-LASIK race, but this horse broke his maiden on a non-LASIK race for $105,000 on debut. So I just think this is a good spot. I like the distance going back to 6 versus 6.5. Has run in a big stakes race for allowance, came in second back at the end of the its season in April of 2023 before it took the layoff and has come back with 2 wins back to back. So I think Bill's got it in a good spot where it wants to be. I'm going to take a shot at the 9 on the outside all the way, rating the speed and winning this race. I'll take the 1 underneath, Happy MI. Johnny V again with another front runner from the inside, but this horse wins strongly. It's been on LASIKs from day one. Don't know how it's going to race off LASIKs. It's not the strongest in prime power, but it is pretty strong late. I like the change in the strong late pace figures that come from this horse, and it has run in some stronger races, 127,000 condition allowance race, which I do like at 5.5. The 6 furlongs actually meets where I think this horse is best at as far as distance out of run Happy. So I want to keep the 1 on the ticket. just don't think it's going to run as strong as it did off the Lasix. You got to have the four in there for me as well. This is Positano Sunset, working extremely well. Last time it ran was in August of 2023. Since the layoff, the workouts, 5 furlongs, 101, nice one, bullet workout on the 22nd of March. April's been really just as strong, 4 furlongs of 48 and one, 5 furlongs of 1 minute and 4/5, and then 5 furlongs, 1 minute flat coming into the race. So I think you've got a well-conditioned horse that is running some grade two, grade threes, didn't fare well, but it has won a non-graded stakes race for $150,000 at Ellis Park last year before it shut it down. Wins off Lasix, so that was strong for me as well. Just can't leave it off the ticket. And last but not least, obviously, Zeitlos, Joel Rosario, Steve Asmussen. Makes a lot of sense. Horse has been running in non-graded stakes races the last two times out. Strong finish, two back. Wasn't really horrible last time out, but it was mid-pack. And I just think you can't put Joel in a position where he's got to get through the pack and try to make up ground. If he's not tipping on the outside to make up ground or wheeling from the front, it's just not going to happen. So better position for him in this race should mean he's going to hit the board. And the non-Lasix is not an issue. Horses one off, non-Lasix two back in the carousel with Gaff Leone. So I do like that as well as an advantage for the medicinal side. So all in all, probably not the win for Zeitlos, but I'll put the nine on top, taking a chance here on the outside. Rate the speed. Make sure you compete with the one and pass him up because he's going to be failing late due to the non-Lasix. So 9, 4, 5, and 1.
I also have the 9.
Okay. We're sinking back up here.
Yeah. So, I mean, after Junior comes in second on, you know, Bill Mott's son's horse,
yeah,
he's going to then take Bill Mott's horse and say, okay, well, I got to win one for the family. Gotcha. Here. So I think the 9, again, I think you mentioned it there, you know, having that first, you know, breaking its maiden, first win off the Lasix shows that it can win on the Lasix. It shows it's very consistent in what it does, right? It always is right up there near the front, if not in the front. So I think that's a step up there. Granted, yeah, it's not running in the craziest of races.
Oh.
Bill Mott's going to have this horse where it needs to be. And Bill Mott is one of the best horsemen that I have been able to witness as a trainer. You know,
finds good spots for his
great
horses.
Spots. He has a horse that's always ready. And when Junior and him team up, it's almost lights out. You know, they do so well together. This horse has posted very, very solid speed figures. So I like this. I like their chances here. I think this is a great spot for this horse. Again, everything that you mentioned there is what I'm looking at as well. So I'll have the 9 on top. I also have the 3. Underneath.
Okay.
I think the 3, right, coming off of 3 straight, Jaime Torres is going to be taking the mountain here. Had the win last time out. Again, very fast out the gate, going to the front. Could be the speed, even though you might think that, oh yeah, maybe Bill Mott and Junior are going to go out there. They might just sit off and let this horse go and just try to rate the speed.
Maybe.
Because, I mean, this horse runs a 21 on a muddy track, it runs a 21 on a sloppy track, and it runs a 22 on a fast track. So very, very consistent in what it does. It always goes out and it always gets the job done. So I'm very scared of that 3. Definitely going to be on the ticket here. Philip Bauer has this horse, I think, ready for this race. Again, I'd like to see this horse maybe in bigger class races.
Yeah.
You know, to make me feel a little bit more confident about it. But a horse that does something consistently on a consistent basis, it's always going to be on my ticket. So I like that a lot. And I think the 2, Last Leaf, specifically just for second place, this horse is very seconditis. Yes. Last two races, very, very close. You're getting upgrading jockey. It's ridden in a grade 3. Eddie Keneally and Luis Saez, it's a great connection. You'll see that a lot at Churchill. They do very well together. I think the surface is going to be fine. I don't care about the distance. I think the distance is fine as well. 6 furlongs is kind of right in its breadbasket there. Again, probably coming a little bit late, stalking a little bit more. But if Saez puts his horse in a good position, tips off to the outside, you might see him get the job done here. So really, really good field here. Really good race.
Yeah, it is a good race.
I was really high on the 1, but for what you said, right, those Lasix coming off of Lasix, how is it going to do? You know, it's really scary. But again, when you're winning by 5 lengths, 6 lengths,
yeah,
the Lasix will help. Yeah, yeah, drawing up, they will help. But if you don't have them, maybe it doesn't make that much of a difference. Maybe it is a monster. So I'll probably have it underneath as well. But I think I'm going to land on the 9 here in this race.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. There's a lot of questions with the 1. It's got 2 wins out of 3 is on off track. So, you know, going to the front and off track is totally different going to the front on a fast track. Some horses don't like kickbacks, so they don't really perform as great. So it's easy. If you get the lead, it's easier to win at the front in those sloppy races. So I got a lot of questions on the 1. It's very interesting that you go with the 3 because the fractions set by the 3 also on off tracks are 21, 45 and 57. Like, those are very fast fractions. The only time it's been on a fast track is 22, 45, which is still very good. still going to be handily.
Never been off of LASIK, so either.
If the three and the one both go and they're sitting side by side and they're blazing, I think the nine has a great opportunity to sit off on the outside, watch the inside, yep. See where the speed is at, rate, and close out. That's why I think we're both on the nine in this situation. I do not see the nine trying to compete at the speed.
No. Yeah, I don't either. It's a great race. It really is a great race.
I want to see how it shapes up.
There's a lot of horses in here that you could see do well. I mean, even that four, I think, is very, very solid. Ian Wilkes and Julian Leperu. But mm-hmm. I'm trying to narrow it down to a couple. I don't want an infinite amount of combinations here. But
the only thing for the four for me is that it's coming off the pace. I'm seeing speed fade again. I'm seeing a lot of races with a long Churchill stretch.
Yeah.
Speed fading and dropping back as mm-hmm. stalkers are kind of like where Keeneland was for the spring meet. That's kind of where I'm going with it. Same kind of conditions here. But then you could argue for the 10 too, which has also been competing with your three.
So now that we're talking about this, might be a spread race. The last race, I might get skinny. Now that we're talking it through, because I mean, there is so much talent in this race. I mean, looking at the race types and the way this typical race would pan out.
Yeah, it swings your thoughts.
Yeah.
After you handicap.
It's the outside post bias. You know, it looks like anything basically outside of four is kind of where it like kind of stands. Mm-hmm. And then early pace has been very, very deadly. But also if you got somebody that's late pace, you know, so it's like 50-50 almost, you know, so
you're going to see some speed. I really want to see what the time's going to be on this track.
Yeah. So I think a great race. I think you're going to see a great race. I might be spreading in this one. Actually,
I would agree on that too. If you see a 46 half, it should be a very interesting finish. Yeah. You could see a blanket finish.
Thought maybe last race I'll be spreading, but I think I'm going to go skinny. And
looks like we're spreading almost every race. And now we get to the finale here that is basically a big spread race for me. 6 furlongs, maiden claiming $50,000, purse of $58,000 for maiden fillies and mares 3 years old and upwards. Throw a dart and choose which one you want. I will take the three. I'll take Star Court, Louis Saez for Sherry DeVoe. Turns to dirt, and I think this is a good opportunity for this horse. The 73 speed figure on debut with Machado in the irons. Not a bad race at all for $70,000 for a maiden race at Turfway Park. I have no problems with that initial debut. I think they went out there and gave it a decent go of it and got a feel for what the horse can do on the track. I do like the workout since April 6th, 47 and 4, and then followed that bag up on April 20th at Turfway 47 and 4, both of those on the dirt. So I think that the actual surface change here is going to do well. Sherry's putting this one in a great spot, and dropping down to class for a little bit of relief, I think, is also going to be important. I think they just wanted to get one under the belt before they actually committed to where they were going to go in direction with this horse, and I think dirt's going to be the way to go. So I'll take the three on top. I do have three that I'm going to put underneath. I'll take the 6, Dark Fury. I like the first-time opportunities here. The percentages of first-time out starters that win for the Dam and Sire are pretty high. The workouts have been great. March 10th, I like the 3 furlongs and 37-1, the 48 flat, the 47-2, and the 48-1 coming in. So very strong workouts here for the filly out of Take Charge Indy. That's definitely got to be on my ticket with Tyler Gaffleone. I think a first-timer is a great opportunity in this race as well. Then I'm going to go all the way outside for my last two picks. I think the 9 Ruby is very interesting. The reality of this horse here for me is cutting back in distance and now getting back to a sprint on the dirt where I think it's going to do at its best, where it's had its best speed figures, 77, 79, and 74, and you're getting a huge drop in class here. I think that's going to be big. So it's going to be on my ticket more so in the verticals, maybe not so much in the horizontals. And the 10 Argan, this is Fernando de la Cruz. I like the opportunity that those jockeys had a few times with this horse and the 2 times at synthetic at Turfway Park. Both of those are maiden races at 70,000, 74 and 79 speed figures for Fausto Gutierrez, and pretty competitive. Got the lead at one point in both of those races, failed down the stretch. I think the conditioning has been a little better. The horse has been on LASIK. The last time out, made $100,000 on the turf. Not good. Not a great opportunity. 4 speed figure is nothing to boast about. A horse was 71 lengths off, eased up. My only concern on that is what's going on with the horse after that race on April 13th. But then, I have no workouts to go off of after that. Maybe this is one to wait on, but I think if I scratch out that last race on the turf, I guess I could consider this for the dirt opportunity where it was pretty good before. Probably going to be a long shot. Definitely going to be on my underneath in the vertical, not on my top spot. But if I maybe hit a try, maybe the 10 could show up for third and improve as they're moving this little drop in class, trying to get a piece of the action. But for me, I just have to go with the top pick that I think is the best opportunity. I'll take the 3. I'll take the first time starter 3, 6, 9, and 10 underneath in the try.
I am going to have to get really skinny in this race because I have quite the amount of combinations up to this point. So I might be singling or narrowing it down to two horses, but the six is my top pick. Tyler teaming up with Greg Foley, another combination you're going to see a lot at Churchill and in Kentucky in general. But this horse, again, working out very well. I think that just from a breeding perspective, right? So the dam is five winners from six starters. You'll see that on the form. I think that the distance is going to be good. I think that, again, they're working out very well. I think Tyler is going to close this meet out or this day out with a winner. I think that this horse is training very well going into the race. I'm not a huge, first time starter advocate. You know, I'd like to see a race and see how it reacts.
Yeah.
But in a field like this, there's nobody that's really jumping out at me that's going to be like, yeah, this is going to be the winner for sure. So I think Tyler's really going to give this horse and see what it's capable of first time out. So I really like the chances there. I'm going to take a shot with an unproven filly here in this race. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also going to go ahead and throw underneath the nine. I think that the drop in class, I think that just where this horse is finishing, right? You're getting an upgrade in jockey. You're going to get, again, Joe or Jose is going to be riding very, very well. I think he's going to try to ride hard and, again, just make his stake in Kentucky. So I think, again, I don't think that the distance is going to be a problem, right? It's gone to six furlongs. It's gone a mile. I think six furlongs is probably better for this horse. I think maybe just getting out there, maybe a little bit of a tactic change, getting more aggressive jockey. But I think maybe going to get caught late with Tyler coming down the stretch. So I'll probably go 6-9. I like your call it on the 10. You know, Fernando de la Cruz has one mount on the day. Yeah. It's in this 10th race. Make he's going to be trying very hard. Again, Nyquist breeding out of Uncle Mo. I think the dirt is where this horse needs to be. I don't think they really like the results on the turf and obviously the all weather, but keeping this horse in Kentucky, keeping it in the Midwest is also, tip of the cap. They're not moving this horse around, so they know where they want to race. So I do like the call out on the 10. I might have just six with the 9-10 there.
Okay. I want to say one thing that I didn't call out that I think usually screws me in the end is Joel Rosario at the rail with Green Fairy. I looked at the horse and I kind of dismissed it, but I will tell you that a 71 speed figure on debut with a horse that actually gained ground over 5.5 furlongs, which was not a favorite, 8-1 shot, probably third, fourth choice on the board at Churchill Downs back in 2023. The workouts are actually pretty good. I don't mind the 48 and 4s and the 49s. Yeah. The horse is working pretty consistent, and you're getting a huge class drop from 120,000 down to 50,000. I don't know. Greg Foley may actually be in a good position to have this horse with the workouts that he has coming in. Change from Brian Hernandez to Joel Rosario. My only concern is that Joel's too inconsistent for me. He's either blowing everybody's doors away or he's just not in the running. But this is one I think for some reason just keeps screaming out to me. I'm going to leave him off the ticket. He may do something. So the one is something I want to also pay attention to.
Yeah. I'll have to revamp probably some of the picks come Saturday. But yeah, I'll probably get pretty skinny in the last leg and cross my fingers and hope that Tyler just ends on a win there.
I think he actually has the best horse in the race. I think that's the best opportunity. I think Tyler has a great shot at it. You never know, man. I thought that way last week, too. And then Flavian comes in with a Chad Brown horse that I thought the same way I feel about the one and screwed me. So maybe I'm a little jaded. That's your pick five for Saturday opening weekend at Churchill. A lot of work ahead of us.
But big thing is just getting down, like I said, the track bias, kind of seeing where these routes and these sprints are going. See how the turf holds up. I'm excited just to watch the races and see how everything breaks down, because obviously we've got a big week ahead of us.
Yeah, I love opening weekend because you get to learn so much about where the conditions are at the track. But if you follow from last year, I think where we're at is where we expect it to be at. So it's kind of where the handicapping was. Big week next week. Two episodes, one for Friday and one for Saturday. You got your Oaks, you got your Derby. You're going to have horse-by-horse analysis taken care of from myself and the kid. We'll break it down. We'll talk pace and see who we have for the big races come next week. Going to be a big one. Make sure you tune in next week. For everybody listening, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of the Who Do You Like Here podcast. For the kid and myself.